We are a cursed people. We are a people surrounded with curses. Our generation, my generation, the generation of the 60s and 70s, the generation of the 80s and 90s, is a generation cursed. It's a generation filled with negative confession, filled with confusion, filled with idol worship. Let's set a foundation before we get to understand. Today we're going to cover something about curses upon our life. Now, say you don't understand what a curse is. Let me explain to you. I'm not talking the four-letter word. I'm not talking saying something or reviling somebody. I'm talking about something that is in your life that is a spiritual stronghold, that is a barrier that is set before you. My grandfather on my mother's side died before I was born. His name was Grandpa Ruby. I don't think I was alive. If I was alive, I don't remember him. He died, and I was told my whole life that he died of alcoholism. He drank himself into an early grave. My grandfather on my father's side was a womanizer. So it should be no surprise to anybody to find out that those curses were passed down. Both my mother and my father and my brother have gone on to glory. Praise God for salvation for them early because of the choices that they made, not knowing that they were cursed. I have an aunt, she's still alive. It's my father's mother. I'm sorry, my father's brother. Stupid. My father's sister. She always said to me growing up, she would say, now it's kind of a weird thing, and I don't know if you guys understand this, but here's the beginning of this. Here's the beginning of this. My family is extremely confused. I have a very Sicilian side and a very Jewish side. And just like me and my oldest brother, God rest his soul, we came from like different worlds. My father was very Sicilian. He was dark-skinned. He spoke Italian. His culture was Italian. However, my mother was Jewish. And she spoke this language called Yiddish. She would talk about the holidays, the Jewish holidays. And it was no surprise that I grew up Sicilian. I'm Sicilian. My brother, Jewish. Now, we were brought up in the same house. Now, call this whatever you want to call it. I see this curse transferred, and I'm going to stop there and pick this up. I'm gonna pick this block up, and I'm going to go to the beginning of this now. There is a being in the universe. His name is Yahweh. Some call him, adding vowels and consonants, Jehovah. Some call him El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. The first verse, the first chapter, the first book of the Bible says, in the beginning, God. The Jewish word is Elohim. El. Elohim. He created everything that is. And for our sake, everything that was. He is almighty, meaning all-powerful. He's all-knowing, meaning he has knowledge of every single thing. He's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere all the time. But we were not taught that. We were taught that our life is our choice. In the 70s, they said, follow your heart. In the 90s, they said, I gots to get mine. And every generation has had their little saying on why what they do is okay. Not realizing, even a little, that following your heart, getting yours, is a surefire way to misery. The Lord Jesus himself, what's affectionately known as the Golden Rule, he said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. He didn't say do unto others as they do unto you. No. He said do unto others like you want them to do to you. You want somebody to treat you good, start by treating them good. And there's no caveat. There's no, well, he ain't doing right by me. There's another facet to this, which enters the heart of every human immediately. Wait a second. So you're telling me God's all powerful. You're telling me God's all knowing. You're telling me God's everywhere all the time. Well, where the heck was he when I fill in the blank? Where the heck was he when this person did this to me, did that to me? Why did he let my mother do this? Why did he let my father do that? Why was I born in the family I was born in? And some other people who have no appreciation for anything are born into riches and wealth and comfort. Why are they so lucky? And I'm so not. Well, here's the sad fact. And this is probably the biggest fact that you have to roll around your brain. God does not give anybody anything that they cannot handle. The Bible says, that all things happen for good to them that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. The Bible says that God will not give you more than you could handle, but will offer you always a way up, a way out, a way to bear up under the weight is the actual picture. He will give you strong knees. It's been well said that God will give you enough to bend your knee, but never to break your back. So why did this happen to me? God knew what it would take to get you to come to him. Yeah, well, you know what? I don't think I want to come to him. If that's what God's going to do, if God's going to let some little kid have cancer, if God's going to let somebody molest some child, if God's going to let, if that's the kind of person, if that's the kind of being he is, I ain't interested. You have that right. You've been given that freedom. You've been given that choice. For what choice is love if there is no choice for hate? There's no... Jordan Peterson has this amazing... It's an amazing... I want to say it's a sermon. Doggone it is. But it's more of a lecture. And he talks about the freedom to love and the freedom to hate. And why, without the freedom to hate, the freedom to love means nothing. My wife, she has a whole lot of other options. Every place she goes, she turns heads. Every place she goes, men stare. I'm constantly getting to hassles. I'm like, I'm constantly like, boy, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Better act right before you get a smack right. What am I, chopped liver? There you go. I had to lighten it up a little bit there. We got a little heavy. So this almighty being, he creates your situation, your circumstance, your very being. And dig this, he also, according to the Bible, created evil. Everything that's happened to you, he allowed to happen. As horrible as it sounds, as terrible as it is, I want you to understand this. And the world is telling you opposite. The world is telling you different. Your life is but a blip. My pastor used to put it this way. If you go to the cemetery and you look and you see on all the graves and all the stones, it says, born, died. And then there's a little line in the middle. That's your blip. What'd you do at your blip? Because believe it or not, the Bible says that your life is but a vapor. It is here today, gone tomorrow. Before you know it, you're old and dying. But what is your life in a vapor according to all creation, all generations? Let's slip into eternity for a second. I heard it put this way. I forget the guy's name. They used to call him the Bible Answer Man. What was that dude's name? The Bible Answer Man? Who? No. But I do like him. Whom? No. He spoke at the church one time. Man, it'll kill me. I'll remember later. They called him the Bible Answer Man. He had this radio show. But I do like Jack Van Impe. He said, think about the biggest mountain you could find. And every day a sparrow rubs his little beak to sharpen it on this gigantic mountain, like a Mount Rushmore. We've been watching a lot of Mount Rushmore. You see how big it is. And every day he goes, he rubs it and he sharpens his beak on it. Every day. When that rock, when that mountain is completely washed away, that's one day in heaven. And it just put that, it's like, wow, that's, yeah, that's it. So now, the question is, do you believe in heaven? Now, you could be asking, dude, what does this have to do with today's Bible study? It has everything to do with it. Listen to me. One of the ways that we curse ourselves the worst is by negatively confessing things in our hearts, in our minds, in our heads. In Ezekiel 28, it talks about, don't have to turn there, it talks about the creation of the devil. His name was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherub that covers. He was the seal of perfection. He was beautifully when he was created. He was also the worship leader in heaven. He was, some would say, the piano player, the director. He had what the Bible calls pipes and timbrels, which is a type of piano, keyboard, synthesizer. And one day, according to Isaiah chapter 12, I believe it is, 12 and 14, or 14 and 12, one of the two, I always mix them up. He looked out at the seas of people, the creation, the oceans, the skies, everything created. And he goes, why are they worshiping God? I'm the one making the music here. I'm leading the whole of creation in worship to the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that iniquity was found in him. The Lord Jesus put it this way. He saw the enemy like lightning. He saw the devil like lightning fall from the sky and hit the earth. And the enemy, he did something horrible. He looked at the creation that God adored. According to the Bible, it says that you are the excellent ones on the earth, in whom is all God's delight. And the enemy hates you. The angels, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness that follow the enemy. The Bible says 1/3 of them were cast out of heaven. And they hate your friggin' guts because God loves you. And why should he love you? Look how weak you are. Look how brief you are. Look how disloyal you are. And he hates you. So he went about taking from you the one thing that he can't. Worship. The one thing that he can. Worship. When I was growing up, my father was in the music industry. I have such amazing distinctions. Let me tell you, if I told you some of the things that I saw, some of the things that you immediately get jealous. I was in 1973 at the last concert that Led Zeppelin did at Madison Square Garden. At the very show that I watched, somebody threw an M80 on stage and literally almost blew up the hand of Jimmy Page. He was bleeding, he was cut, and he wrapped it up and he went out there and he played more guitar with... Crazy. Crazy. Kiss was there without their makeup. I met Kiss backstage in the 70s when they were the scary band. They were the Ozzy Osbourne and the... What's his name? Who'd you say? Black Sabbath of the age. I also, because I was ready, so blessed with that desire, I also formed a rock and roll band. Left New York to start a rock and roll band in Florida. I toured all around the country. And you know who one of my closest friends was? A young man named Brian Werner. Does that name sound familiar? He had a band in Boca Raton. Little guy, kind of a peculiar, nice kid, knew what he wanted, very dedicated. He called himself in the band the Spooky Kids. Later on, they became Marilyn Manson. I thought he was a good guy. I didn't know he'd turn out to be such a weirdo. And if you asked Brian Werner about his band and how they were going to make it, he would say, it's just an act. It's just, I don't really believe this stuff. It's just, I know what sells. He knew it sold. And somewhere between him getting signed and becoming big, it swallowed him. It ate him alive. Still has him. He's a God-hating... I mean, listen, so you know, he comes from Boca. His mommy and daddy got plenty of money. He's never been, like, anything that you hear about him is a lie. It's all made up. The whole story's made up. His hero became a man named Anton LaVey. Does anybody know that name, Anton LaVey? Anton LaVey wrote a very famous book called The Satanic Bible. And the whole idea of the Satanic Bible, it's not a secret, it's not anti-Christ, it's pro-self. think independently for yourself. Satanism isn't worshiping some horned one and like all that stuff you see, the pentagram. That's all. That's ridiculous. What Satanists, true Satanists that have been taught by Anton LaVey, in the book, The Satanic Bible, he says the sum of the law is as follows. Do what thou wilt. Sound familiar? I gots to get mine. To thine own self be true. Follow your heart. Do what thou wilt. Now, what does this mean? Okay. If you're living under a curse, and you know it, maybe you just figure it out tonight. Maybe you never even realized that you do have the power to break that curse. But make no mistake about it, it ain't easy. It's not one prayer. Although one prayer can open your eyes. It's a daily prayer. It's a daily work. It's a daily grind, if you will. 1997, I had gotten saved about 2.5 years before. I went to prison in January of 97, and I made a commitment to God as a young Christian, just a couple of years old in the Lord. I said, Lord, I will not listen to anything but Christian music. And the contradictory aspect of my life was becoming more and more evident. And here it was. I'd go to church, and they'd play this music that so ministered to my heart. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't realize as I was listening to that music, as I was literally following the words and singing these words, I was putting positive confessions in my life. But then I'd get in my car, I'd get in my truck, and there was the Black Crowes, and there was Frank Zappa, and there was the Doors, and there was Soundgarden, and there was and there was Running with the Devil. And then there was this band, they were called the Ghetto Boys from Houston. Oh my goodness, the most vulgar, the most vile, the coolest band I ever heard. The first gangster rap I used to listen to. Man, I love the Ghetto Boys. Bushwick Bill. He was a little person. Am I alone here? Okay. So I didn't know how to deal with it. And I knew there was confusion in my life. And I read in the Bible that confusion is not of God. That God is not the author of confusion. So I made a commitment to God. And I said, God, the whole time I'm in prison, I'm not going to listen to anything but Christian music. Because I had heard that when you get there, you can go to a commissary and buy headphones. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. So I made this commitment to God. So for the 13 plus months altogether that I was on the inside and the halfway house and all of that stuff, I didn't listen to anything but Christian music. And I remember the day I got out, I went to the halfway house, and one of my employees met me and picked me up to take me to work because I didn't get my car registered and all this other stuff. And he looked at me first thing, he says to me, bro, I don't know if you've been listening to any music, but the Black Crowes new album came out. You got to hear it. And he put it in. And I was like, oh my goodness, that stuff is great. I forgot all about that. So I went about starting listening. I'm out of prison. And I started listening to secular music again. And I was now waking up with these songs in my head, these thoughts in my head, this anger in my heart that I hadn't recognized was there. And then I hired this kid, his name was Anthony Beatles, and he used to only play Christian music. And now I got saved before Anthony, he got saved after me. Oh, fireworks. But he gave his life fully to the Lord. And it seemed like mine, I had to have this sanctification process. What? Yeah, I did. And he would play all this Christian music. So he comes to work and he plays Christian music. And he's like, he says, you know, man, you really should get rid of your secular music. And I was like, oh, look at it, Mr. Judgmental. You know, who are you to judge me, man? I've been walking with the Lord longer than you. Goodness sakes. My pastor listens to secular music. He talks about it all the time. Beatles and... And I realized, I don't even remember when it was, this stuff's got to go. It did this weird thing. It bruised my spirit. I called it bruising of my spirit. I was one time on this road trip. As a matter of fact, it was this young man who was fancying my daughter Elena, my oldest daughter, and me and him took a road trip together. We drove in the car together up to New York for like 2 days. And in there, I turned him on to the music that I grew up with, U2. And I played all U2's albums while we were in the car driving. And that night I went to sleep and there was this, I wish I could explain it to you. The weirdest feeling in my spirit, in my restlessness, and what was it? And waking up in the morning singing songs that, and I realized I gotta do something about this. So some months later, and it took me months, I did love my music. I backed my truck up. I had a GMC Jimmy to the dumpster that was by my, and I opened the back of my Jimmy, and there was just boxes and boxes and boxes. And it's like, I even told one, I'm just going to sell them all. And I had a guy say to me, so somebody else could struggle with it? And I was like, I just threw them all, one by one. They got stuck in my hand, some of them. But I like. And I will tell you this. My walk improved after that like nothing else ever has, because I do not negatively confess anymore. Now, keep something in mind. I don't muff my ears when I go into a store. Oh, my goodness, they're playing secular. I will also sometimes pull up an 80s song. Me and my daughter will sometimes trade songs from her. But I don't buy it. I don't listen to it on the regular. 98% of the time I'm listening to. Now, I'm going to save this for another service. The difference between Christian music, praise music, worship music, there is a huge, huge difference. If you're listening to 88.5 Way FM or whatever it is, 88.1, you ain't listening to praise music. Sorry. Now, is it better than listening to, like when I first moved down to Florida back in the 80s, there was this radio station down here called WSHE, She's Only Rock and Roll. Yeah, if you got your two choices, yeah, listen to that one. But in this day and age, with the advent of iPods and cell phone, you don't ever need to. Now, here's how you judge. If your song is about God or about you, it's not praise and worship. If it's about God, you, Lord, not what can I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you ain't going to do nothing. You're going to get shredded. You, Lord, know my heart. Rita Springer and Hillsong and so many right now. There's so many good. If you don't have any good music, talk to me. Talk to some of the sisters. And the curses that are in your life. If you want proof, talk to some white kid from Boca Raton who's been listening to rap music for too long. And first you do is you talk to his parents. Well, hi, it's nice to meet you. My name is Bill. This is my wife, Jess. Jess? Betty. This is my wife, Betty. And then you meet the dude, and he's like, sup, dog? It's great. Everything's great with you? And you're like, you adopted? No, that kid has cursed himself. Somehow, some way, found himself replacing, you ready? Replacing Almighty God, who knows all, sees all, controls all, with something else. And the Bible says this. The Lord Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you. And one of the things he will make you is a fisher of men. But he will make you. He will remake you. He will recreate you. So as we replace the blesser with the creation, as we replace the creature to the creator, we wonder why things have happened in our lives. Now, some of y'all might not be here yet. Some of you guys might be like, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay. Enjoy the rest of the Bible study. We're going to hit the word right now, and I'm going to explain to you why I started in this place, because the three chapters we're going to do tonight cover what worship is, why worship is, who we are worshiping. It's no wonder when I was growing up, on my way to school in high school, the first thing I would do is hit the grocery store and get me a 40 ounce. And I would get drunk before school, and I wanted everybody on the bus to see me hitting my old English 800, drinking my 8 ball. You know why? Because one of my favorite bands was a band named The Doors. And one of the songs they had was, well, I woke up this morning and I got myself a beer. Right? You got that in your head, right? Well, the future's uncertain and the end is always near. Let it roll, baby. Let it roll. Now, when I was just getting out of secular music, there was a guy named Biggie Smalls from New York, and there was another guy named Tupac Shakur. He was from the West Coast. Now, it's funny how both of them guys died really young, and the people that are listening to their music are dying really young. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Jim Morrison, all died really young. Now, in my brother's generation, there was a band called the Grateful Dead. And they were fronted by a man named Jerry Garcia. Jerry Garcia, pro-pot, pro-drugs, let's just follow them around the country. My brother thought it was the greatest thing in the world to pile in a van and follow the Grateful Dead from city to city, from state to state, living off the land, y'all. And him dead. And my brother dead with him. So when somebody tells me about a Grateful Dead, I hear somebody walking with a Grateful Dead shirt, or they start telling me about a Grateful Dead, I want to smash their skull. I'm not lying. As terrible as that sounds. It's all I can do. When my brother died, I got all these calls from people. Hey, man, I'm really sorry about you, brother. I'm like, dude, don't ever call me again. You watched him drink himself, smoke himself, and drug himself to death, and you want to call me and tell me you're sorry? You come around me, I'm going to show you sorry. Bro, why are you so angry? Why would they be? All of them dropped dead like flies all around. All my brother's friends died like... They cursed themselves. The Bible says this in about five different places. All who worship them become like them. Your idols are wood and stone, he says. Eyes they have, but they can't see. Ears they have, but they can't hear. Throats they have, but they can't mutter through them and say a word. And so is everyone who worships them just like them. What is worship? It's song. It's song. So if your life is falling apart and you tonight realized you're cursed, now there's a lot of other ways to be cursed. I'm just telling you about the first one. Just the first one. Check out your music. What are you putting in? Garbage in, garbage out. You guys have been around this church any length of time, know this. One of my favorite bands in high school, 81, 82, 83, was a band named Pink Floyd. And they had an album out called The Wall. If you've ever listened to The Wall, you know there's something wrong. But here's the thing, guys. My parents were a very hands-off type of thing. They were very involved in their own life. And I breastfed myself on The Wall. I, as what we used to say in the 80s, wore the grooves out that record. And here's what happened in 1982. I was diagnosed manic depressive. Diagnosed manic depressed. They put me on lithium with violent outbursts. Now, that should come as no surprise to anybody if you've ever listened to The Wall. I was worshiping depressed self-pity. Vera, Vera, what has become of you? Does anybody else in here feel the way I do? Pathetic, negative. Good friggin' music. Oh yeah, good music. But what was it doing to me? And I ask you the question, what are you willing to do? You willing to sell your soul for some good music? Because a whole nother Bible study that I will go through before we finish the book of Psalms is the origin of the devil and rock and roll music. There's a really good series, and I don't think it's on YouTube. There was a man who used to be a solid brother in the Lord. He produced a whole series called They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll. And when you see the origins of rap and rock and pop, and you go, you won't believe it. Do you remember that, Dino? Do you remember? Do you ever see that? They sold this over rock and roll. That was a, what was it? What was that dude's name that produced that stuff? He was an elder over at Fort Lauderdale years ago. Remember him? He was like Bob's buddy for a long time. And then he got all into the... He got onto the Calvinism and went and started another church. That doesn't matter. Chapter 65, and I wrote and I circled next to my Bible, why? Why? The first question, why worship God? Here's why. Number one, praise is awaiting you, O God in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. We sing that song. Brian plays it. Praise awaits you. Love awaits you. I await you here. What a different spirit. Look at the other crap that I've been singing to you tonight. What a difference. What a change in venue. What a spirit that just flowed so different. If you don't know what supernatural crap's all about, let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Music will show you. Like that. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Why do we worship God? Because he hears our prayer. It was the Lord Jesus who was standing outside the grave of one of his best friends, a man named Lazarus. And Lazarus' two sisters were crying, if you'd only been here, if you'd only been here, I wish you were here. And the Lord Jesus said, didn't I tell you? If you followed me, you'd see the glory of God. And he stands in front of the grave. And they said, move the stone away from the grave. And they said, no, no, Lord, there's going to be a stench. He's already been in the grave 5 days. It's going to stink. Didn't I tell you? And he said, Lazarus, come forth. But before he said, Lazarus, come forth, he said the most beautiful words in the entire Bible. He looks up to his Father, our Father in heaven, who he knew worshiped him, and he said, Father, I thank you that you hear my prayer. And then he said, and he affirmed it, he said, you always hear my prayers. If you ever feel when you pray like it's hitting the ceiling, like it's like, you don't even know, I don't even know how to pray. Best prayers. God hears every single prayer. And when he proclaimed, Lazarus, come forth, if you don't believe the Bible, there's nothing I can do. That's between you and God. But this man who's been dead for some days, he rose and he walked out, wrapped in grave clothes. And I heard Warren Wiersbe, he wrote something very interesting about that section of scripture. And he said, it's a good thing he called him by name. Because if he didn't, he would have emptied out the whole cemetery. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Did you hear that? Why do we worship God? Well, number one, he hears all our prayers. Number two, he forgives all our sins. If you don't know that word for iniquity, that word iniquity, it just means sin. Anything you've done against God. He forgives all our sins. No matter how bad, no matter how rotten, no matter how terrible, whether your husband forgives you, whether your wife doesn't forgive you, whether you don't, no matter what you've done, no matter who doesn't forgive you, listen, and probably most important, whether you can forgive yourself or not, God forgives you. Man, blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Did you hear verse 4? You know why we worship God? Because he's taken us out of this filthy, disgusting world and taken us to his house. When we breathe our last breath on earth will be our first breath in heaven. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, we die and Christ is immediately there to those who have called upon his name. Why would we sing a song to ourselves, to our trucks? I sing songs to my truck sometimes. Seen my truck? By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. Why do we worship him? Because this psalm, he is so powerful. Could you imagine? Me and Eric made a shelf today, right? The guys, the two brothers that I work with, they cut it for me. I routed it. I got the wood. Eric painted it. I put up the brackets. I made a shelf today. I made a shelf with my own hands. You know what God did? He made mountains by words. He went, "Be," and it was. He made something by his words. That's why. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. If you want to do something really cool, me and my son-in-law, we go salamander hunting fairly regularly. We go up into the mountains. And you could always, listen, don't go hunting salamanders with my son-in-law. First of all, he doesn't wear shoes anywhere he goes. Second of all, every 15 minutes, you have to pull him out of a bed of green moss. Because every place he goes, if he sees moss, he goes, "Oh my goodness, Ryan, look at this moss." He loves moss, and all of a sudden he just goes like this. He goes, "This is soft moss." I'm like, "Austin, you're going to get a bug on you or something." And you know what he always says? "It'll be worth it." I will find bags of green moss that he pulled up out of the ground. "Oh, I'm taking this moss home." "Austin, it won't grow at home. It's way too hot." "It'll grow." He loves moss. Just whenever I read this verse, it reminds me of him and moss. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drop with abundance. You guys know what that means. You know what verse 11 means? It's beautiful. You crown the year with your goodness. Listen, I've told that story all the time about no matter what is thrown at you, it always ends good. It's like a story. One time I heard Fidel Gomez tell this story, and I butcher it every time, but I make it up. He says, "I came home this afternoon, and I found out my dog was hit by a car." "Oh, that's terrible." "No, it's not terrible. I brought him to the vet, and they said he's going to be fine." "Oh, that's good." "No, it's not good, because they said he has cancer." "Oh, that's terrible." "No, it's not a bad cancer. It's a cancer that can be healed. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't have even known they had cancer unless he would have got hit by a car." "Oh, that's good." "No, it's not, because they had to take his leg off." "Oh, that's terrible." "No, it's not, because he walks just fine with three legs." "Oh, that's good." "No, it's not, because now he doesn't want to go anywhere near me." And that's our lives. "Oh, this happened. Oh, that's terrible." "No, that's not." But everything always ends with, "Oh, that's great." And that's our lives. The enemy, maybe, or us, or whatever. Boom. "Ah, that's terrible." "No, it's not. I got this." "Oh, well, that's good." "No, it's not, because he's doing it again." Boom. No matter what it is. And let's get real for a second. I had a baseball coach. I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and he did terrible sexual things to us, in front of us, not to us. And he was like, "That's terrible." "No, it's not, because now I could talk to people who have been sexually molested or made bad choices." "That's good." "No, it's not, because I was promiscuous in my teens." "Oh, that's terrible." "No, because now I could tell other brothers and sisters what." And listen, I'm talking horrible things here. And yes, we're giggling when we say it, but you know what? What else am I here for? My life is a blip. My life's a blip. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with God, because I put my trust in him, I believe in him, and along the way, I've made some money, I've lost some money, and I got good friends, and I'm planting myself in the house of the Lord. And listen, guys, right now, I'm at a high point with money, but don't worry. I'm sure I'll go back down to the bottom. Always happens. 10 years ago, my board almost quit the church. I have a board of elders who oversees the things of the church so I don't go crazy. More. And they said, Ryan, you are broke. You have to take money from the church. I don't want to take any money from the church. You have to. You're losing your house. But we had these kids, and we had to sell part of our house off to pay for the lawyers to help these kids. And now, full circle. I'm just going to enjoy it while I'm up here, because I'm not standing too firm on this. It's the Bible says this: it's by his mountain I stand strong. But my parents got divorced, and that's terrible. No, it's not, because now they're happier. Well, that's good. No, it's not, because I really miss them. Well, that's terrible. No, it's not, because I can now talk to other kids whose parents got divorced. Well, that's good. Not really, because... But it always... Listen, again, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, the next chapter, 66, I wrote in my Bible, how? Now we know the why. Why do we worship God? Well, that's why we worship God, because all those things I just said. How do we worship God? Watch this. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his presence glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Oh, well, let me ask you a question. What does your worship look like? When Brian is leading, when Drew is leading, when Steve is, what does your worship look like? I gotta pee, I'll work back. Hold on. Yeah, I'm in church. What are you doing? What does your praise, what does your worship look like? I mean, here's what it says it should look like. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Everybody's got a different personality. But here's the thing that always bothers me. The people that call me a religious fanatic, a nut, they're usually the ones that when they're listening to their music, that's my jam, man. This is my jam. They're in the club, man. They got that. Get your hands in the air like you just don't care. Oh, and I'm the nut. I'm the nut. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise be heard. The sweetest sound. You want to know why I moved up here before the last song was over? Because all night when I was sitting back there, I heard Brian singing and this sweetness in back of his voice, all y'all's voices just in unison worshiping God. And it was just, and I swear I heard angels singing. I swear it. And I wanted to come up here and I wanted it to surround me, man. I want to be swept away with it. I want to be enraptured. Do you know what happens when I'm enraptured in worship? Everything. I'm not hungry. I'm not missing, I'm not sad, I'm not angry. I'm enraptured with it, I'm lost in it. And if you don't know what that is, man, I pity you, I really do. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One. Why not? God, here. My heart's open. My hands are open. My life is open. This is how. This is how. Listen to this. Who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You young folk here that are going through the first trials of your life, make no mistake about it. God is doing something in your life. And if you think this is the worst it's going to get, you ain't seen nothing yet. Suck it up now, buttercup, because the boulders are right behind the pebbles. And every single time you go through it, you're going to come out on the other end okay. You're going to come out on the other end okay. And it just how many times you realize, it's the craziest thing. Things always turn out for me. I always find a way to get the money. I always find a, I never miss a meal. I mean, I don't know how this happens. It's just coincidence. Don't worry about it. Listen to what he says. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Guys, I'm telling you some of the testimony of my life. Death and misery and prison and jail and I can't, broken relationships. And I could give you the list of poor me's. But you know what happened in the end? Rich fulfillment. Let's turn the clock back 55 years. And God whispers in my little baby ear and says, would you change a thing? I'm honestly going to sit here and tell you, don't change one thing, God. If you promise me it's going to end up the same way, don't change a thing, please. And if you don't live with that same knowledge, that same fervor, that yes, don't change a thing. If you're like, yeah, well, my life's miserable right now, it's going to get worse and it's going to get better. And it's going to get worse and it's going to get better. It's going to get worse and it's going to get better. And if you do something great with your life, you're not going to want God to change a thing by the time it's over. He's going to bring you out into rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth, which has spoken when I was in trouble. You know, 13 and 14 is just basically that. You know what? You promised God you were going to do something. If he got you out of the mess you put yourself in, make sure you do it. It's better not to promise and to promise and not do it. You know that promise you made to God that if you hit the lottery, you're going to give him 50%? And then when you hit the lottery, you gave him nothing? Don't do that. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. 15 is just for you guys that are new to Scripture. That's how the early Israelites worshiped God, by taking the best out of their flock and literally having a barbecue with it and offering it to God, by taking all the entrails, the insides, and offering it as a burnt offering to God. And with the rest of it, they had a big old party with their family. Verse 16, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What an amazing psalm. And then lastly and quickly, Psalm 67, I wrote in my Bible, who? So I wrote first, I wrote in 65, I wrote why. In 66, I wrote how. And in 67, I wrote who. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Even though this was written some 700 years, I don't remember because we don't really know who wrote it, 700 years before the birth of Christ. Here, the writer is asking God about another person named he, which we, having the hindsight in the 2020, know that God the Father, through the psalmist, is saying, worship my son. He's coming. He will be there. Watch now. What the Jews always expected was the coming of Messiah, What we are expecting is the second coming of Christ, which strangely, I think, is going to coincide with each other. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the peoples righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Last thing, last thought. Sorry going so long. Fear of God starts out with this idea that God's going to punish you every time you do something wrong. But let me tell you what happens after you get baptized in the Spirit, after you get baptized in the body, after you get baptized in the love of God, the fear of God turns into the fear of disappointing God. Man, I'm not afraid of God. I can do whatever I want, and God will forgive me. I can rob money from the church. I can shoot somebody in the street. I can cheat on my wife. All the things that my flesh says I should do, I can do them and just say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. But you know, I'd never do any of those things. No matter how much I need money, no matter how angry at somebody I'll get. I have no idea what that was. I can't even come up with a wise guy remark because I have no idea. I am at the place in my life, 20, almost 30 some odd years into this walk now. I just want to do what God wants me to do. I just want to say what God wants. You know what my biggest worry is? That I think that I'm here to sell reptiles. You know what my biggest fear right now is? That I'll not accomplish the goal that God has set for me. Tomorrow, if you ask Austin, our workload tomorrow is already stacked about this high. When Paolo gets to work tomorrow, he has more animals, more voices, more things creeping, crawling. Feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. When he gets to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Man, what a workload. And I'm just afraid for myself, for Austin, for our family, for Paolo, that we won't get what God has for us to accomplish. I won't give out a good word when it's needed. I'll get on the phone with a customer and not realize maybe he needs ministry. Maybe one of my employees that need a little love or a prayer. Maybe I'll get so busy. That's my biggest fear in life right now, that I'll just sell reptiles, that I'll just make money. It is. Yeah, we're going to look at that on Sunday, too. So, if you're cursed, first step of getting away from them curses, throw out that music. Fill it up. Now, reread those later on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your good word. We thank you so much for your good worship. And God, we thank you so much that curses were broken tonight, people were set free, and that your name was lifted up. Your word says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Father, for every person that's here, if anybody here has never made a positive confession, a knowledge of who they are in you, God, I pray right now they'd settle it in their hearts that you are their God, and beside you there is no other. They would receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as Savior. They would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Thank you, God, for your word and the principles of your word and the power of your word. May it bless our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Amen.